Chapter 7. How to Track Your Progress. In this chapter, we will look at the various tests that allow you to track your progress. The first one, glucose testing, is particularly important. Please listen through the whole chapter. It will help you stay on track. We will start with blood tests and then look at other kinds of testing, including weight, blood pressure, and examination of the eyes and feet. Glucose testing. Monitoring your blood sugar is essential to controlling diabetes. Glucose is measured in milligrams per deciliter in the United States and millimoles per liter in most of the rest of the world. If you have type 1 diabetes or are using insulin for type 2 or gestational diabetes, you should check your glucose at least 3 times a day or according to whatever schedule your doctor recommends. If you have type 2 diabetes and are using oral medications, there is no optimal testing frequency. As a rule of thumb, however, when your diet, medications, exercise routine, or health status changes, it is important to test more frequently. If your doctor is not yet aware that you are about to make a change, now is the time to share that information. You should also discuss what to do if your blood glucose is too high or too low. As you begin a healthful diet, your numbers are likely to fall significantly. Regular glucose testing is especially important if you are taking diabetes medications, particularly insulin, or medications that cause your body to release insulin. The reason is that these are powerful drugs that actively push your blood sugar down, and you are now starting a powerful new diet. The combination of these treatments, drugs, and diet, sometimes along with exercise, may end up pushing your blood sugar too low. I know what you may be thinking. Impossible. If all you ever heard from your doctor is that your blood sugar is too high, it's hard to imagine it could fall too low. Well, it can. The combination of a powerful diet and the diabetes medications you may already be on can be very strong. In fact, your blood glucose can fall so low that you start to shake and sweat. This is called hypoglycemia. In rare cases, people who make a major diet change or embrace a strenuous exercise program without backing off on medications find their blood sugar drops dangerously low, so low that they can lose consciousness. This is why it is essential that your doctor be made aware of the changes you are making so your medication dosages can be altered if your blood glucose takes a nosedive. Dangerous hypoglycemia is very unlikely if you are on no medications, and it is also unlikely if you are being treated with only metformin, glucophage, or a thiazolidinedione, such as pioglitazone, Actos, or rosiglitazone, Avandia. However, hypoglycemia is likely to occur if you take any of these drugs. Insulin, any injected, pump, or inhaled form, gliburide, micronase, glinase, diabeta, or the combination drug, glucovance, glipizide, glucotrol, glimepiride, amaryl, nitaglynide, Starlex, rapaglinide, prandin. This is just a short list of medications that may put you at risk. Ask your doctor if the medications you are taking may cause hypoglycemia. Although hypoglycemia is a sign that your body is regaining its insulin sensitivity, which is, of course, a good thing, it is also a sign that your medicines are now too strong and that you need to speak with your physician right away about adjusting your medication regimen. If your doctor has stopped your medications, hypoglycemia is very unlikely to occur. Symptoms of hypoglycemia include shaking, sweating, hunger, anxiety, weakness, rapid heartbeat, dizziness or lightheadedness, sleepiness or confusion, difficulty speaking. If you experience these symptoms, check your blood sugar. If it is below 70 milligrams per deciliter, 3.9 millimoles per liter, or whatever other benchmark value your doctor recommends, you need to eat something that raises your blood sugar quickly. If you notice symptoms while driving, pull over to a safe spot. And if you are unable to test your blood sugar or are unsure whether it is low, assume that it is low, and have something to eat. Glucose tablets are a great choice. They are sold at all drugstores, and you will want to keep them in your purse or briefcase and in your glove compartment. If your blood sugar check shows you are hypoglycemic, you should take 15 grams of glucose. If you have typical glucose tablets with 4 grams of glucose each, you will need to take 4 tablets at once. Here are some other good choices. 1/2 cup, 4 ounces of any fruit juice. 1/2 cup, 4 ounces of a regular, not diet, soft drink. 5 or 6 pieces of hard candy. 1 or 2 teaspoons of sugar. After 15 minutes, check your glucose again. If it is still below 70 milligrams per deciliter, or 3.9 millimoles per liter, have another serving, then check again in another 15 minutes. If you are within an hour of mealtime, go ahead and eat. If not, have a snack. Be sure to carry glucose tablets or a quick energy food with you for emergencies. Wear a medical identification bracelet and be especially attentive to your glucose level during exercise, which can cause blood sugar to drop. Hypoglycemia can also occur while you are asleep. Look for these signs: nightmares or crying out, finding that your pajamas or sheets are damp from perspiration, awakening with unusual tiredness, confusion, or irritability. If these occur, you can check for nighttime hypoglycemia. Simply set your alarm for about 2 or 3 a.m. and check your blood sugar a few nights in a row. Consult your doctor to see if you need a medication change. Hypoglycemia does not mean there is anything wrong with your diet. Rather, it means that the medication regimen you are on has become too strong for you. The next step is to contact your physician, who will probably reduce your medication dosages or eliminate one or more drugs. Get in touch with your doctor as soon as possible, the same day the episode occurs. Do not put it off, because the hypoglycemic episodes are likely to recur until your medications are reduced. To track your blood sugar, use a logbook or a simple grid. A computer spreadsheet program works great for this too, if you have one. Make columns for the date, your medication regimen, and 5 columns for your blood glucose test results. Early, breakfast with before and after separated by a slash mark. Lunch with before and after separated by a slash mark. Dinner with before and after separated by a slash mark. And late. Note that it is especially helpful to check your blood glucose before meals. Mark these numbers to the left of the slash marks. Mark after meal values to the right of the slash marks. Carl's hypoglycemic episode. Carl had been taking metformin and glipizide for about 5 years, and his morning blood glucose values ranged between 120 and 150 milligrams per deciliter, 6.7 and 8.3 millimoles per liter. He changed his diet with the hope of coming off his medications, and in fact, very soon after he began this program, his readings began to drop. After about 2 weeks, they were often under 100 milligrams per deciliter, 5.6 millimoles per liter. Carl was delighted with such clear evidence that the changes were working. About a month into the diet, he had an unusual experience. One morning at about 10 a.m., he found himself feeling unusually hungry. He always had a good appetite, but this was something different. He felt ravenous. Over the next several minutes, he started to tremble and broke into a sweat. "Oh, yes," he thought to himself. "This is what they told me might happen." He checked his blood glucose, and it was 65 milligrams per deciliter, 3.6 millimoles per liter, which is lower than it should be. He had some orange juice and an early lunch. He telephoned his doctor, who reduced his glipizide dosage. Over the next several weeks, the episodes repeated several times. Eventually, his doctor stopped the glipizide altogether. Carl's morning blood glucose readings stabilized at around 80 to 90 milligrams per deciliter, 4.4 to 5.0 millimoles per liter. He never needed to go back on glipizide, and he never had another hypoglycemic episode. making sense of glucose. Blood glucose values are a bit like the stock market. Although they generally follow a trend, they can bounce around from day to day. Certain situations can trigger an unexpected rise. Any sort of illness or infection can boost your blood glucose. Even a minor upper respiratory illness or a scraped foot can cause a significant jump in your numbers. Stress can too, due to the action of stress-related hormones. Having some up-and-down swings in blood sugar is normal. But if your glucose remains high day after day, it will lead to high A1C, which increases the risk of complications. The American Diabetes Association recommends that people with diabetes use the following guidelines for blood glucose levels. Fasting or before meals, 90 to 130 milligrams per deciliter, 5.0 to 7.2 millimoles per liter. 1 to 2 hours after a meal, below 180 milligrams per deciliter, 10.0 millimoles per liter. At bedtime, 100 to 140 milligrams per deciliter, 5.6 to 7.8 millimoles per liter. The dawn phenomenon and the Somogyi effect. You may occasionally be surprised to find that your blood glucose is higher in the morning than it was when you went to bed the night before. Or perhaps you checked your glucose in the early morning and then went back to sleep, only to find that it had risen while you slept. How is this possible? No, sugar plums dancing in your head had nothing to do with it. The fact is, your body constantly monitors and alters how much glucose is in your bloodstream. Glucose is vital to your body's functioning, especially to the workings of your brain. So your body has a way of increasing your blood glucose when it gets a bit low. In the early morning hours, typically between 5 and 9 a.m., hormones, growth hormone, cortisol, and catecholamines, cause your liver to release glucose into the bloodstream. These hormones can also interfere with insulin's efforts to remove glucose from the blood. This dawn phenomenon can noticeably raise your blood sugar. A similar reaction can occur when a person using long-acting insulin has an unusual blood glucose dip in the middle of the night. Let's say, for example, that you miss your usual late-night snack and the insulin you are taking forces your glucose level too low. Once again, your natural hormones will compensate, raising your blood sugar. This is called the Somogyi effect. It is different from the dawn phenomenon in that it is triggered by an overly low blood sugar level occurring in the middle of the night. Although your body has a system for controlling your blood sugar, it is a bit imprecise. Your blood sugar can still run too low or too high despite your body's best efforts, and you will occasionally see a high or low level that you cannot explain. Hemoglobin A1C. As discussed in Chapter 1, the main test for assessing your progress is hemoglobin A1C. Your A1C level should be checked every 6 months or every 3 months if your diet, medications, or general health are changing or if previous values have been too high. If your A1C is high, your doctor will be concerned, and you should be too. If it is low, you are doing well. To give you a frame of reference, the American Diabetes Association says that A1C should be less than 7%, and for individual patients for whom further reductions are possible, closer to 6%. Unfortunately, only a minority of people with diabetes in the United States have managed to achieve A1Cs under 7%. A typical oral diabetes medication brings A1C down by an average of about 1 point or a bit less. The effect of a good diet on A1C varies depending on how good your control is when you start, how well you follow the diet, and how much excess weight you lose. Your result will also be affected by exercise, genetics, and other factors. The biggest drops we have seen in short-term research studies are on the order of 3 or 4 points in approximately 6 months. These are seen in people whose A1Cs were high, say 9 or 10, to begin with. People whose A1Cs are in the 7 to 8 range are likely to have a drop averaging between 1 and 2 points. People who continue to lose weight beyond this time could have an even greater drop, assuming they were not already in the normal range. The higher your A1C, the greater your risk of circulatory problems. Evidence suggests that keeping A1C low is particularly important for the health of your eyes and kidneys and for preventing nerve symptoms. From your heart's standpoint, a 1-point increase on the A1C scale, from 7 to 8 or 8 to 9, for example, brings about a 20% increase in your risk of heart problems over about a decade. In other words, if you had a 10% risk of having a heart attack sometime in the next decade, a 1-point rise in your A1C maintained over the whole decade would boost your risk to 12%. A 2-point rise would mean a 14% risk, and so on. What these numbers tell us is that A1C is important, and that by all means you will want to aim to get your A1C down. However, A1C is not the sole key to good health. To stop diabetes from attacking your heart and blood vessels, you will also want to focus on your blood pressure, cholesterol, and weight. Needless to say, your doctor can and should track these values with you.